May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
We're in a new season of the church calendar this Sunday. The calendar of the church year began, of course, with the four Sundays of Advent before Christmas. And then we had Christmas season, the 12 days of Christmas, starting on the 25th and ending on the 12th day, which was Friday. Yesterday, January 6th, was the Epiphany, the feast day of the Epiphany. And Epiphany season, this season after Epiphany, continues now from today up until Ash Wednesday. As I've said before, I like the calendar. I like the church calendar, the calendar of the church year. Not all denominations observe a calendar. But I see it as a gift from the church. A gift that the church gives to us. Now, it may be that it is a gift sort of on the par with getting socks for Christmas. Something we need. Something that is good for us, whether we want it or not. That's part of what I like about the calendar, is that we live with it whether we want to or not. It requires us to consider, over the course of a year, in sequence, different facets of our relationship with God. Different pieces of our spiritual or religious journey. It leads us, invites us, requires us to address these different aspects of the journey of faith. Without a calendar, there is a tendency to stay just in those places we like the best. We are invited to broaden our experience of our relationship with God, to broaden our perspective on the spiritual life by traveling through the seasons of the church year. Yesterday was the Epiphany. There are Epiphanies and then there is the Epiphany. The official title for yesterday's Holy Day is the Epiphany, : the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. The story that bears the theme for Epiphany is the arrival of the Magi. In the church calendar, in our observance of this broad season of the Nativity, technically the Magi don't arrive until January 6th. It's fun, especially if you have children in the house, with your manger scene, for the Magi to journey from the east, across the windowsills and the fireplace hearth, and wherever you can manage for them to travel, until they arrive at the creche on the 6th, 13 days after Christmas. But it is that story that carries the theme, that carries the meaning of Epiphany, the arrival of the Magi. Although it's not actually their arrival that is significant, nor even the gifts they bring, although those are nice to think about. What is significant about the coming of the Magi to the manger is their recognition their sudden recognition of God's presence in that baby in the manger. The recognition that God's divinity is somehow shining forth from that wondrous baby in the manger. It is that epiphany of recognition of the presence of God with them there that we celebrate on the Feast of the Epiphany. And the stories of Epiphany season are all stories of manifestations and recognitions. The manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. God manifesting or revealing God's self and being recognized. Being recognized by the Magi, being recognized by others. Stories of God revealing God's self and being recognized. God reveals and people recognize. Recognize the presence of God, often beyond any expectation that they had. The people in the Epiphany stories are not often looking for God. Sometimes they are looking for something else. Sometimes they are looking for nothing at all. But God finds them, and God reveals or manifests God's presence, and in startled wonder, they recognize God with them. These Epiphany stories point to an important quality of God that I think we don't name often enough. I talked about it a little bit in the class about the nature of God. A quality of God that we don't name often enough, which is that God is knowable and God wants to be known. God is not some remote or amorphous being that we cannot know or cannot relate to. God is knowable by us and urgently seeks to be known, acts to be known. In terms of the story of the Magi, I don't have a clue what seed of historical reality, if any, lies within that story. The timing and the logistics are impossible. And yet I believe that story describes a true experience, a true human experience. And the pieces of the story that are important are these. First of all, as the story tells it, the Magi were foreigners from probably, as the story goes, Persia, present-day Iran. They were from far away. I don't know if you all are familiar, there's a phrase in Maine about being from away. Some of you may know that. If you're from Maine, there's Maine, and then there's away. And you're either from Maine, or you're from away. And 2 feet into New Hampshire is away. I was from away when I lived there. But that's a wonderful image for the Magi, because they were from away. There was Israel, God's people, and then there was a way, and the Magi were from a way. They were not Jews. They were not looking for God. An expectation of the Messiah was not a part of their narrative or their history. Who knows what it was they expected to find at the end of their journey? Some sort of secular king, apparently. A baby perhaps surrounded by courtiers, not cows. Certainly not a god whom they could recognize and know. And yet that's what they found. as they looked upon Jesus, somehow they saw divine light and grace. They found themselves in the presence of divine light and grace, and they recognized the presence of God with them. An epiphany, their recognition. Beyond any expectation. The gospel story that we always hear on this first Sunday after the Epiphany is one of the stories of Jesus' baptism. We're in Mark's year now, so we heard Mark's version this morning, but we always hear one of the stories of Jesus' baptism. There is actually little doubt that Jesus was historically baptized by John. All three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, include a story of Jesus' baptism, and it's an awkward story for them. They would not have made it up. It's awkward, to say the least, that Jesus was baptized at all, much less by John. And from the time of the evangelist until now, debate has raged about why Jesus was baptized. Putting that debate aside, remember that we hear this story every year as an epiphany story, as a story of God revealing and people recognizing, an epiphany story. And in that context, the most important part of this story is the voice from heaven. The voice that speaks on that occasion. It's not entirely clear from the gospel accounts whether that voice was intended for just Jesus or for the crowd. But it's clear to me, and I think it has been clear to Christians since, that that voice spoke to everyone who was gathered there. That voice, whether it spoke audibly, or whether it spoke into their hearts, that every person from Jerusalem or the whole Judean countryside, as Mark says, all those who were gathered near to Jesus heard God's voice say to them, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." Each person there heard that voice spoken into their eyes, into their hearts, recognizing that they were in the presence of God and that they were God's beloved. God's revealing and the people recognizing God's love with them. In so many of these epiphany stories, that recognition is unexpected. The presence of God, the presence of God's love is unexpected, and yet it is revealed and recognized. And it can happen anywhere, any time. The stories do not just come to us from the scriptures. Contemporary Christian writer Frederick Buechner, who I've mentioned before, talks about a time when he was outside in a garden and heard two branches of a tree clack together. And in that clack, for him, heaven broke open and he knew that he was in the presence of God. In that mundane and ordinary experience, God was revealed and recognized, an epiphany. It can happen anywhere, anytime, to anyone. Some of you may know the story of C.S. Lewis's conversion. Conversion to an awareness of God's divinity somehow born in the person of Jesus. Lewis's conversion was gradual. He first came to an acknowledgement of God's presence. Then he talks about the day when he was riding in the sidecar of his brother's motorcycle on the way to the zoo. And he says that when we left, I wasn't aware of Jesus' presence in my life. And when we got to the zoo, I was. I don't think the zoo part of it is significant. It can can happen anywhere, anytime. This God reveals and we recognize. Recognize God's presence, God's love with us. So many of these epiphanies, as they are described from the past and in the present day, were unexpected and even unsought. Lewis describes himself as the most reluctant convert in all of England. That's probably an exaggeration, but nonetheless. They point out to us that God is knowable and wants to be known. God reveals and people recognize. We're going to spend a few weeks now in this Epiphany season among these stories. These stories about God who reveals and people who recognize. They can be our story too. Amen.